Welcome back to Will I Ever Learn Chinese? I'm Jeanette Seikel. In this episode, I'm looking at what the term Chinese refers to. Which variety was I going to learn now that I had decided to learn the language? Most people will probably have heard that there is a difference between Mandarin and Cantonese. And they may even have heard that Cantonese is generally spoken in Hong Kong and the surrounding area, while Mandarin is, well, spoken across the rest of China and in Taiwan and Singapore. There are many speakers of Cantonese in Britain due to the historically close links with Hong Kong. And because of Hong Kong's status as a trade port, Cantonese was often the language of choice for foreigners learning Chinese in the past. Yet, with English spoken widely, proficiency in Cantonese was never particularly essential for English speakers living in Hong Kong or collaborating with Hong Kong partners. With the rise of mainland China as an economic superpower, Mandarin has now become ever more important, and today it is the most widely learned Chinese language. It appears that many young people, especially from countries in Asia and Africa, aim to study in China and therefore learn Mandarin Chinese. This was my impression during the university approval meetings, where we often encountered foreign students recounting their stories about how they came to China to study. For Mandarin, the estimated number of learners today is somewhere between 25 million to 200 million, depending on the sources you consult. Wow, there is a big gap here, so it is really difficult to guess exactly how many learners there are because there are no official statistics. Well, other than the number of people taking Chinese language proficiency tests. But even if the truth is closer to the lower end of the estimate, this is still a very large amount of people, making Chinese one of the most commonly learned languages in the world today. However, when we compare Mandarin to English, it's still a long way off, because English has about 1 to 2 billion learners. While Mandarin and Cantonese are definitely the two big languages of China, they are far from being the only languages spoken there. There are, first of all, a range of other Sinitic languages. This is the language family that Mandarin and Cantonese belong to. And these languages include Hakka, Min, and Wu, to name a few. And most variation in Sinitic languages is typically found in the southeast of China. These languages are spoken there, but they're not necessarily mutually intelligible. That means people can't speak one language and understand the other, but rather they would have to learn each other's languages in order to communicate. Still, these languages are connected historically. So if a speaker of one Sinitic language learns another Sinitic language, it's much more straightforward for them. It's a bit like a speaker of English learning Dutch. There are many other languages in China, though, and there are other languages that do not belong to the Sinitic language family, but that are still related to Sinitic. Because Sinitic, as a language family itself, belongs to a bigger language family called Sino-Tibetan. And Sino-Tibetan has another sub-branch called the Tibeto-Burman languages. And these include languages such as Tibetan, as the name implies, but also a range of other minority languages in China, such as Xiang. There are yet more languages spoken in China that are entirely unrelated, belonging to other language families, such as Mongolian, a Mongolic language, and Uyghur, a Turkic language. So when we speak about Chinese, we may be referring to a wide range of languages, and we have to be a bit more specific about which languages we're referring to in different contexts. I discovered this when I first started learning Chinese, and I was telling friends about this. Because upon me saying, "I'm learning Chinese now," the inevitable first question was, "Mandarin or Cantonese?" Today, though, the term Chinese is most commonly used to refer to Mandarin as a default, and this is done so by native speakers and learners of the language alike. Actually, the confusion about what Chinese is does not just relate to the two big varieties of Cantonese and Mandarin, but there are also various terms referring to Mandarin and sometimes some of the other varieties that are used in different contexts, and sometimes these contexts are overlapping. So the spoken language is often referred to as Hanyu, literally meaning the language of the Han people, the ethnic group that today make up the vast majority of people in mainland China, but also in Hong Kong and Taiwan. And confusingly, while Hanyu refers to the language of the Han people, it is generally used to refer to Mandarin. But A lot of ethnic Han will speak other languages, such as Cantonese, also called Yueyu or Guangdonghua, after the region of Guangdong where it is spoken. Note also that Hanyu, with a slightly different pronunciation, a rising tone rather than a falling tone on the Han, refers to an entirely different language altogether, namely Korean. There are further ways to refer to Chinese, and a term that I'm often hearing is Zhongwen, which means the central language or the central writing. And this derives from the Chinese word for China, Zhongguo, which literally means central country. This is in line with the worldview where China is at the center of the world, very much like other countries do, where we put ourselves at the very center of the world. Zhongwen typically refers to the written language, but I hear it very frequently referring to the spoken language as well. So people would ask you if you speak Zhongwen, and then they would generally mean, do you speak Mandarin Chinese? Another term for Chinese is Putonghua, literally meaning the common language. And this is widely used in mainland China to refer to standardized Mandarin Chinese. In Taiwan, the term that is often used is Guoyu, which literally means the country language, and in Singapore, Huayu, literally meaning the language of the Chinese people. Sometimes people may use other terms, such as Guanhua, which means the official language when referring to Mandarin. So there are a lot of different ways to refer to the language. But when we look at Mandarin, we can see there's a lot of variation within the language as well. Just like other languages, Mandarin has a lot of different dialects. Standard Mandarin is based on the northern dialect, which was spoken by officials around the influential Beijing region. But there are a lot of dialectal features you find in different parts of the country. One feature that is very widespread is the pirate-like R, which is also called Arhua in Chinese, and it's added to the end of many words, especially in northern and western China. Standard Mandarin. This is generally understood by younger generations all over the country. And it is the language that was used in my university approval panels and so on. It's the language spoken and learned by most people. Wow, I had my answer now. I decided to start learning Mandarin. Now that I had decided on Mandarin, I was somewhat pleased to read that apparently it was slightly easier to learn than Cantonese. Because apparently Cantonese had a more complex sound system, which made pronunciation more challenging. More on this in a later episode. There were also, I read, many more resources for learning Mandarin compared to Cantonese, which made Mandarin so much more accessible to the learner. But I would soon find out just how many resources there were, because I'd previously learned some very, very small languages. And even if I had learned Cantonese, I would probably have been overwhelmed by the amount of resources available to learn the language. So, Mandarin it was. But now another question arose. Would it be difficult to learn? This was also a very typical question my friends would ask me when I told them about my learning plans. And to be honest, I had that perception myself as I started. There was this idea that Chinese is a difficult language. Of course, there's the writing system to consider, right? Haven't we all heard stories about those poor children in China having to sit down for years and years and years to learn the writing system? Then there are all those other news stories. For example, The Economist ran a story about how some languages of the world would be very difficult to learn, and Mandarin Chinese was listed in the category of the most challenging, at least for an English speaker. This was based on America's State Department evaluation to give a guide for how long it would take English-speaking diplomats to learn a language to a basic level of proficiency before then being posted to the relevant area. And Mandarin was listed there, requiring 88 weeks of learning, alongside Cantonese, Arabic, Japanese, and Korean. I did a quick calculation in my head and realized that 88 weeks corresponds to roughly a year and a half, so just about the time I have spent learning Chinese now recording this podcast. While these stories of difficulty may again put some people off, I approach Chinese from the perspective of curiosity. I expect any new language to be difficult to learn. And I know that there will be joy and there will be sorrow. such as the couplets in Chinese where you can say ku, bitter, and tian, sweet. These are very common in Chinese culture and they're very often put together. Also, we can consider it from another saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. To be honest, I prefer the somewhat less macabre Chinese saying, a 1,000-mile journey starts from the first step. Little by little does it. Let's just get started.